Yeah, that's right. That's Loverboy for Rob Shaw. He is our Loverboy fan, and he's got a lot to talk about this morning. Good morning, Rob.
I prefer Loverboy correspondent, if we could.
Don't, I almost said, here, our Loverboy, Rob Shaw. So.
You know, I was listening to your talk about soap operas, and I remember Beau and Hope back in the day. But what I loved most about soap operas was everyone had an evil twin.
Yes.
And someone, you know, with the name of Stefano would unveil the evil twin. So I just wanted to let you know that I am, in fact, Von Palmer's evil twin, just if anyone was wondering.
You know what? I love that you just admitted to knowing more about Days of Our Lives than you probably would have otherwise on the radio.
Well, because we're
you
not
said
live,
Stefano. Stefano De Mira, that was he was a big villain on Days of Our Lives. So you clearly watched it more than you're willing to admit, Rob.
I have no comment about this situation, but I may in fact have watched a little bit. You know, the weird thing about the internet these days is that you can go and search and discover the Wikipedia page that will tell you the entire history.
Don't try to get out of this now. Don't try to get out of it now.
Some connection problems over here.
Sure. Wikipedia. Yeah. I'm going to put that in air quotes. You were researching it for our segment, I'm sure.
Yes, of course.
Research purposes. We have a lot to talk about this morning because we're going to discuss something that Premier John Horgan said yesterday. In fact, we have the audio here, so let's just play this for people.
Maybe I'll take out an ad in the paper. I don't know. I suspect we're going to do that anyway.
He's talking about healthcare funding and trying to get the attention of the federal government, but essentially he was also flippantly kind of talking about the couple from earlier this week who were so desperate for a family doctor, they put an ad in the paper. It worked for them, unfortunately. It shouldn't have to, but it did. But Rob, this one didn't really sit well with me.
Yeah, there has been some discussion online about this, and the opposition have taken a few shots about it. Essentially, the premier got asked a couple questions, and the first one was just to respond to this elderly couple in Victoria that you and I talked about Monday, who took the ad out in the paper, and he expressed sort of sympathy for that, and said, we've got a crisis in the healthcare system, and he's trying to get more federal money from the prime minister. And then the second question was, well, what if you don't get that money? What if the prime minister doesn't follow through? And his answer was that quote you just played there, or maybe I'll take an ad out in the paper. And then he kind of went on from there. Some people viewed it as kind of, maybe making light of this desperate plea from this elderly couple. Others thought it was kind of dismissive or arrogant, and the liberals jumped in saying it's nothing to make jokes about when people are in a crisis like this. Janet Mort, who is the woman who put the ad in the paper for her 82-year-old husband, she told the Canadian Press she was upset, furious at that tongue-in-cheek remark. But I think, Horgan's office reached out to her, and I think their explanation was that he was trying to reference that he would take an ad out in the paper to, as part of the premier's campaign to convince Ottawa to get more federal funding, which could involve advertising.
Right.
So, in this day and age.
I get that, but you shouldn't have to have your staff jump in and explain something that you were saying. And also, in this day and age, there's a lot the provincial government is responsible for when it comes to healthcare. So there's a lot he could have said that didn't just say, the federal government has to fix this.
Well, the phrase, what the premier meant to say is a lament that many offices and many people have used over my entire time covering politics. So it's not unique in that. But you're right. Like, here's the issue with the healthcare situation is that it is controlled provincially. The provinces administer healthcare, but they want more money from Ottawa, which only pitches in around 22% of the funding. And Ottawa says, well, if we give you this money, we want you to show us that you're using it properly. We want you to show us that you need it for certain areas. What are you going to spend this on? If BC gets what it wants, it would get $4 billion extra a year in healthcare funding. And the feds say, is this going to solve your problem? How many doctors can you hire for it? What are you going to do with it? And the provinces say, just give us the money. Just less talking, more money. We'll figure it out. It's our healthcare system provincially. We'll do it. So there's a little bit of that disconnect when you hear the premier say we need more money from Ottawa, but then not really explain how the money could actually solve the problem, and that's the back and forth. But I do think here, Horgan was asked a bunch of questions about this, and he said he thinks that the prime minister might move on this by the end of the summer. And I think the reality here is that this is an enormous national problem. You know, the Ontario Premier, Doug Ford, just yesterday was blaming the federal government, a very similar press conference emergency room closures. Ottawa's got to move. They have to put more money in. It's just on what strings and what terms is the deal going to be struck, I think.
Here, my concern with this is this situation did not need a flippant comment, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't need you to try to go for the laugh, or it didn't need him to try to make that point, because it is serious enough as it is. You mentioned the Doug Ford press conference. That was a very serious press conference because they have a terrible, serious crunch in their ICUs and their emergency rooms right now. And, you know, I think people feel similar about what we have going on here, just trying to phone around, trying to find a doctor, looking at the wait list to get into emergency or anything like that. There's a serious crunch here. So I felt like, you know, we could be serious about this.
You know, I agree with you. I think there is a history of John Horgan kind of making, as we would call them, gaffes, little statements that sometimes end up being taken by people to be more offensive than maybe he meant. And one of the things that he's been able to do, the magic sauce of his premiership, is he can kind of get out of it somehow.
Very true.
He's got that,
yeah.
You know, like when you have a family dinner at Thanksgiving and that uncle or that dad or something makes a stupid comment and everyone goes, oh, dad, oh, and they roll their eyes. Like, he's got a little bit of that to him where people kind of roll their eyes and then go, wow, we still love the guy, right? I mean, remember that time he told people that they should take public transit or ride a bike if they were from another province so their vehicle didn't get vandalized, or that overdoses and addictions were a choice initially, or people in their 20s and 30s shouldn't blow it for the rest of us for the pandemic. You know, like, those things caused people to be upset, and then Horgan sort of managed to apologize and shucks his way out of it. It's not unusual for premiers. Remember Christy Clark?
Well, this is what I was thinking. If Christy Clark had said this, I think people would be very upset.
The NDP would be lighting their hair on fire.
Of course they would.
You know? And now the NDP are explaining what the premier meant to say. That's the privilege and responsibility of being in power, is you gotta walk your way out of this. But I still remember Christy Clark under fire for being yoga on the bridge, which I still to this day don't understand why that was such a scandal. But there was yoga on the bridge, and she tweeted out a picture of her standing in front of a Tai Chi class saying, "Hey, yoga haters, bet you can't wait for International Tai Chi Day." And people went nuts about it. The NDP was a disrespectful, unbecoming of the premier, and you owe British Columbians an apology. Like premiers become lightning rods, and their comments they make people angry who are already angry. And that's a little bit of what we're seeing here with Horgan, of making a tweak, you know, a little comment about taking out an ad in the paper and it just blowing up online. So that being said, you know, I don't think it's going to hurt him in the long term, and he doesn't care anymore. He's leaving anyways.
Right.
But it's kind of one of those things where immediately when he says it, you go, oh boy,
you know what?
Horgan again.
That's exactly. You must have felt that at the press conference. I felt it as I was following along online. As soon as I heard that, I thought, oh, that's going to be a thing. That's it right there. Yeah. Did you notice that at that moment?
Yeah, but then I also know that, you know, a thing these days is people who are already angry on Twitter getting more angry for a moment and then disappearing. They're a bunch of anonymous bots, you know, yelling at you, which is fine.
But these things add up, Rob, though. That's the thing that gets me. Like, you just listed off when talking about the premier, 3-4, you know, incidents where this has happened before. 1 is fine, 2 is fine, 3, haha. But then you get to a point where people are like, enough already.
And yet he has the highest popularity rating of any premier in the province for, you know, like 3 decades. He somehow manages to weather it. And this is going to be the question, I guess, for David Eby, is when he becomes premier, if he becomes premier, and he makes a misstatement or a joke that doesn't land or whatever in a press conference, you know, the public doesn't have that relationship with him. And he's going to wear it a lot harder than Horgan does. And he's going to have to decide whether he apologizes if he does something like this, or he tries to joke his way out of it. You know, it's the magic sauce of being premier is how you relate to the public when you say something wrong. They all say something wrong eventually. And Horgan just manages to have that kind of, you know, that special relationship that gets him out of trouble that seems to work. So I don't think this is going to, the anger over this, I don't think is really going to last very long. And I think the premier's office reached out to Janet Mort, who actually, you know, Horgan gave the Order of BC in March, so the two know each other.
Yeah.
She wants a meeting with him. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I don't think she's horrendously offended at this point as much as she was when she first heard it.
Right, but I think it's just a good illustration of where we're at with this crisis too, right? Like, it just shows you that mm-hmm. if people have also been searching for a family doctor, they may feel more personally impacted by that than others. But we'll see what happens. Rob, thank you.
Okay, take care.
You too.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.